friends, I'm turning this morning to 2 Kings chapter 25 and from verse 27 to 31. 2 Kings chapter 25 from verse 27 to 30, sorry. And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, out of prison. And he spake kindly to him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments, and he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. And friend, my title for this morning is the blessings of salvation. The blessings of salvation. Brother, can you please read 27 to 30 for me? So today, as I said, we are going to talk about the blessings of salvation. And friends, it's a very wonderful experience when you talk about salvation. What does it do? It brings us from a very poor position to a better and lifted up position. It's a radical transformation of the life of a sinner by the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are going to learn this lesson from this account. It's a very long story, and sometimes because of the names and so on, it's sometimes very boring, but it's very, very, very necessary for us to understand that this is a picture and a symbol of salvation, a picture and a symbol of who we were through Adam and where Christ has lifted us up to. So that is what it's about in this account. And as we just read, this Jehoiakim, he had been in Ezra for over 37 years. And then there's this man called Evil-Merodach. He became king in Babylon. And then he left this king out of prison. And as we have learned, it took place on the 25th day of the 12th month. And the king did not just release him from prison. After releasing him, he was treated most courteously and gave him preferential treatment beyond any experience of any political prisoner of their type. He took him from prison, and we see how where he brought him onto. And if I ask my can he say, if I say a genus and church so na yet in shra any ma a war and quadji. Se cas will be any and quadia in shra a womb. And I make us say I from same can ya sometimes yeah na yo precisely this are most all two boasty now tears a womb and some way to do some my far. As I say we are making a year in phonibia or babu mwa echre. Said the enquiry. Said the yes, but you free. Said the last time you see him, or but you free prison. Now or the worst thing, baby papa. And no idea now you this free. And as I the who working here, me can say now. You're not him for 37 years. And a king here or buy and a obey you. No, you know what you need. Which year said the actually you this free and near man. Or your man, no, bra, we in the free prison. And I can say, you can say salvation. The being you are capable to salvation. There's nothing in this world that can be compared to salvation. There's no situation, no position that you can get in this world that can be compared to salvation. Salvation is the ultimate. If people understand what salvation is, there will be no need for all the things that are going on, the deceptions that people are taking people's money for nothing. Once you are saved, it's a package. Once you are saved, you come under the rule and the control of God Himself. God is the one that is taking care of you now. God will seal you with the Holy Spirit. So you see that you are under the King of Kings, the Creator of heaven and earth. So who do you have to go to for help again? If God is your helper, as we learn from Psalm 34. So it is important that we understand what it means to be saved. When you say you are saved, what does it mean? The American says, liberty and quantity are here. And you say that you are not going to be saved. If you say, you will be a deliverance. You have been delivered already from the power of sin into life, from the power of Satan. All what we are going through, the demonic attacks and all those things, are from Satan. And when you have been delivered from Satan, what do you need again? But it's only because people don't really understand the word salvation, or they are not properly taught what it means. So this lesson is very, very important. It's so important that it appears in two other passages in the Bible. This same thing is repeated in Jeremiah chapter 52, verse 31 to 37. When you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, it is also there. And then this passage, which shows the importance of this message, especially when it comes to salvation. And he said, the king treated him most courteously and gave him preferential treatment beyond anything experienced of the political business held in Babylon. This very, very king, he was given so kind, he was treated so kindly and so good a treatment that no political king or political prisoner in Babylon has ever experienced it. We'll get to know why this particular king had all those privileges. He was taken of prison, and as we said, he was given a royal cloth to wear, a prisoner. You can compare the prisoner clothes that he was wearing to what he was wearing now. And then he had his meals in company with the king himself. That's where he had his meals from. And the king provided everything that he needed to live comfortably for the rest of his life. Oh, he in the free prison, you know, or man for Eshe, Atadia and Funeshe, Princess Neshe, and now Odima Ure Iman Eshe, or Sansu, Emma, or her say, if you that time now, when you in the free prison, you could say, Odi Beguno, Bibia Enyan Uyatin, or Hinakasa, and the Behano, one in the Tun Sedidi, one in the war and in Fioho, and now, Omani, and Emma Bibri. And he would be there of a prison, Abetna Palace. And that's how it is. When you are saved from prison unto the presence of God. And like I said, nothing can be compared to that. Living in the presence of God. That is what this passage is about. If you go to the passage, you say that he lifted up his head. He lifted up his head. And friends, sin, what sin does to us? Ahano wasi opeja niti, ohenu peja pisina niti. En Amerika se, ewiasi, ye beyu ewiasi mwa, ye wo ye naan yeti ewa from. We come with guilt, because we come with sin. The moment you are born, by nature you are a sinner. So you bow before God, you come with guilt. But Christ comes to lift you up. And that's what happened to this king. He was in prison, and the king came to lift up his head. So this is very, very important. Sin, what does it do? The sin, what does it do to us? When we talk about what sin does to us, it's very, very terrible. Sin first humiliates us, it degrades us, and disgraces us. Boni eguya nimwase. Boni emaya mfata. Ewo onyankopon enim kra eguya enim ase ebreya ase ewo onyankopon enim. Sin would humanize the human being. Bone ma wetse aboa ewo onyankopon enim. nyakopɔ na ɔbɔ sɛ ne sɛso no bɔne nti ama sɛ wo abɛgye sɛ aboa ɔwɔ n'anim na yesu na ɔba a na wabɛyi wo afiri saa tebea no ɔno ɔyi wo a na wama wo so ɔyi wo na ɔnya wo hɔ saa sɛdeɛ ɔhene yɛɛ no ɔyi wo na ɔsane ama wo so. So when Christ comes, Christ comes to deliver us and exalt us, and then he also dignify or glorify the human being. This king has been in darkness for 37 years, but now he saw a great light. And like I said, why would this king, he was a tyrant, very wicked king, why will he bring this man out? Has so much compassion for this man, this very, very prisoner. Remember, this king was the son of Nebuchadnezzar, very wicked king. And yet, look at the compassion that he had for this very, very prisoner. What is the answer? The answer is by the power of God. It is by the power of God that this king, as soon as he came to the throne, the first thing he thought of doing was to release this man from prison. And this man, later on we'll get to know that this man was the last royal son of David. This same man that we are talking about, the one in prison, he was the last royal son of David. And remember, God has promised the throne to David and his descendants, which is Christ. So if this man had died in prison, it means that there will not be Jesus. We all wouldn't be able to have salvation as we have now. So it's a very, very important subject. So I said that it is by the power of God that this man shows such compassion to the king. And that is what Christ also does to we the sinners. That's why we always say that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ alone. No one can bring salvation. The man was in prison. And when we talk about prison in those days, it's not like even our prison that we are seeing here. He was in total darkness. He doesn't see anybody, anything. Nobody talks to him. Doesn't talk to anybody. That's where he was. So there was no way he could have come out. He had to take the power of God to touch this man's heart to go and bring the king from down there. And like I said, this is what shows that Christ has come to deliver us and has also given us a preferential treatment. He said he is going to prepare a place for us and come and take us to where he is. Where he is, that's where we are going to be. We will dine with him. We will see him every day. He will be our friend. He will be our brother. He will be our father. He will be our everything. Even now, he is still by the right hand side of God and pleads for us. When we pray, he makes our prayers acceptable. When we commit sin, he pleads for us that our sins will be forgiven us. So, this also confirms our belief in eternal security. When we say one saved, forever saved, or perseverance of the saints. The same power that took this man from prison is the power that kept him at his new place. That is what it is. When we are in prison and Christ comes to deliver us, the power that he took to deliver us is the same power that works in us. So who can snatch us from his hands? That is why we believe in perseverance of the saints. So it means that if you claim to be saved and you later lose your salvation entirely, then your salvation wasn't true from the beginning. If it was, you continue in the hands and in the power of God. So we believe in perseverance of the saints. We also believe that this is the greatest miracle that can happen to any human being. Sometimes when we talk about miracles, we are talking about those who claim to be healing and all those things. And when we talk about even cessation of those gifts, it's difficult for people to accept. But if you believe what salvation is, if you know where you are saved from and where you are saved to, there's no need for any of such things. No need for a prophet. No need for a prayer warrior. You have direct access to God. Because now you live with him, as we see from this man's case. You dine with him, you converse with him, he is your father, and you are his child. So it tells us that scriptures alone, that is why in Hebrews 1:1 he said, God, who in previous times spoke to us through prophets and apostles, has in the last days talking to us through his son. Christ is his son. When he delivers you, it's complete. It's a package. It includes everything. And no one can snatch you from his son. So this man was released from prison and he was given a preferential treatment. Friends, remember that we have souls. We have souls. Our souls never die. And one day, our souls will come to meet our Creator, our Maker, God in heaven. And how do you meet him? How prepared are you to meet him? As I said, this king, God has arranged. That is why we also believe in predestination. You see, like I said, this man was the last royal son of David. So if he had died in prison, like, there will be no other way Christ will have come. But then, what can stop Christ from coming? So God had ordained that this man will be saved by this tyrant king. And in reality, he saved him. So it is all the plans of God, which we know that it will never, never, never fail. And even though we see him as the last royal son of David, the passage also teaches us about the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the higher king who was coming to deliver us from the power of sin. The proof of this man being the royal son of David and through whom Christ was to come can be found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 11. Let's turn there quickly.
And
Josiah begat Jehoniah. This Jehoniah is the same as Jehoiakim. That same person. And his brethren, about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jehoniah begat Sarathiel. And Sarathiel begat Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel begat Abiud. And so on and so forth. But I just want to prove that this man was from that line. So if he had died in prison, like all of us will be finished. There will be no salvation for any one of us. So this is a picture of the greater son who was to come, who is Christ. So friends, my question to you this morning is, do you want to be saved? Do you really want to be saved from this wicked and sinful world, from the wrath to come? If not, then I don't know what else you want. If you don't want salvation, then I don't know what else, because I said there's nothing that can be compared with being saved from this wicked world and coming under the rule of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Christ did not come to die on the cross of Calvary just because for our careers and our professional. It's good we see for careers and everything, but the most important thing is your soul. Where will your soul rest? Have you found rest for your soul? Otherwise, life for you will be a disaster. If you gain the whole world and lose your soul, life will be a disaster. So if you really, really have not been saved, let this be a day of your salvation. Think seriously about this thing and come to God to be saved. Now let's come to the passage. First to the king. So that his father was Jehoiakim. Note Jehoiakim and Jehoiakim. This one is C-H-I-N. And the other one is C-H-I-M, the father. And this man also lived evil in the sight of God. If you go to 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 8 and 9, we can't go there now because of time, but you can note it down and go there. He said that he lived evil in the sight of God. He was only 18 years, and already he was in a sinful state. And this man, as we just saw, he was the grandson of Josiah. See, who was a very, very good king. But this man, because he was only 18 when he was put on the throne, he lived for only here and now. He lived for all what he was seeing. He never thought of the future. And many people live like that. Sadly, we in our case, it is even worse because Christ has come. But people live for the now, here now, not thinking about their souls and about the future. So this man was never thinking about God. He was living here for the here and now. And therefore, there was a curse upon him. Anybody who is living for here and now and not thinking about the future, there's a curse on you. All of us, if you have not come to be born again, there is a curse on you. Anyone who is without Christ, that is your nature. That's what Hebrews 3:2 tells us. Our nature, our state by nature is very, very sad. We are in a state of curse. So there's a curse for everyone born under Adam. There's no exception. No one is exempted. Everyone is born into sin. It is only Christ who can give us happiness, who can release us from that situation and give us life. Now, this king, he was a captive. Even though he was a king, 18 years only, and he was a king. And he ruled for only 3 months. See, he thought he had the whole world. He was so happy about himself. He ruled for only three months. But he became a captive. He became a slave. And that's what we are. Everyone without Christ is a slave and a captive to sin. He was on the throne for only 3 months. But then he was in captivity for 37 years. He was in prison for 37 years. And as I said before, the prison in those days is not what we are seeing now. I want to say a dungeon, a very serious state. That's where this man was for 37 years. A man who was pampered, and he had all the pleasures and all the happiness in this life, now was in this pit, down there. Like I said, he couldn't speak to anybody. He couldn't see anybody. He was in total darkness. And when you go to chapter 24, verse 13 to 15, it showed that when this man was captured, he never showed any resistance. He just followed them. And that's what it is. We can't resist Satan because of our nature. He drags us to his pocket. He commands us to follow him, and we obey. So we are also slaves to sin. Satan commands us. You may not see him personally. Once life without Christ is life under Satan, and he commands you, just like this man, he was dragged to prison without any resistance. And that's what happens to us. We serve Satan without any resistance, and we follow him. We are slaves to sin. We are in the prison of sin and can never offer any resistance. We continue to sin. We can never stop sinning. We have no power to resist the power of sin. So Satan rules over us. And that is our sad state. And that is how we are before we come to the blessings of our salvation. So this man, 37 years later, what happens? Then this king came. And the moment he came, the first year he came, that's what he did. The first thing he did was to show mercy to this Jehoiakim, which is a very wonderful thing. But when you talk of mercy, we have somebody who is more merciful than this king, and that is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, verse 20 to 21, he says that, "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." So you see, I already said that this is the symbol and the picture of what Christ will do for us. So this man, even a human king, shows us mercy. How much more our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this is what he has done for us. We were separated from God. Same as this king. This king was separated from everybody. His sentence was a life sentence. He wasn't there for some number of years. He was there till he died. That was the sentence. The same thing with us. But then, note how it starts. And it came to pass. And it came to pass. We show the providence of God. Because this man was condemned to die there forever and ever. And it came to pass. So God had to intervene. Because according to God's plan, Christ will come from this man. So there's no way this man could have died in prison. But when he was there, he didn't know this. Through the power of Christ, he came out. Friend, maybe you are here today and God has ordained that you hear this word today. As it came to pass at that time, the same thing with us today. You may be here and it's the providence of God. The same providence that made that king had mercy over Jehovah King. The same provision God has made the way that you will be here today to hear his word. And like I said, the will of God will never fail. It will always come to pass. And this king, he received an undeserved favor. But how do we define grace? An undeserved favor. We don't deserve that favor. And the king didn't also deserve it because, like I said, he lived a life against the will of God. So he deserved where he was in the prison. Same as us. We were born in sin. We have sinned all our lives as well. So we deserve to be dragged to hell. By grace, by undeserved favor, God has come to deliver us. The man went to prison at 18. He is now 55 years. 37 years in prison. Friend, how old are you? No matter how your age, what are you waiting for? To receive Christ? Do you want to be continuing being in prison, or you want to be relieved and have access to God himself? Do you want to remain in the prison of your sin? Friends, depending on your age, if you are 20 and up to today you have not been saved, you have 20 years of wasted life. If you are 30, you have 30 years of wasted life if you have not come to know Christ. And that's what happened to this man. For at the age of 55, it was wasted life, 55 years. Until now, that this man came, this king came to release him. The same like us. And because the man could not do anything by himself, this king had to bring him up. The same way, Christ had to take the initiative. That's why he has come to die on the cross of Calvary for us, to pacify for our sins. Do you believe this? Do you accept that you are a sinner? Do you believe in what Christ has done for you? All you need to do is to come to him, confess your sins to him, and repent and believe in him, and you will be relieved from this captivity. Now let's come to the blessings as our main topic, the blessings of salvation. And it begins from verse 27. He said, he lifted up his head. Like I've already said, that we come into this world with our heads bowed down, with guilt and shame, bowed down to sin and slavery. Now, sin cripples us. And this man received a pardon. That is what the term lifted up his head. He was raised up. Christ does the same thing for us. The same verse 27, we see out of prison. He was out of prison. He was released from prison. So he was released and exalted. He was released from prison and then exalted. Already, ye in free prison, and yes, I'm man, so a share no anymore. San yes, you are here. So yes, you free, or born you more, or share one anymore. You are now a saint. You are being trained to be like Christ. And you go to where he is. They are all the one I want to make up. I catch you, I say, or point of the sea, I could use it, baby, I'm mine. Or I have a fire, I could hope you. Into a you free prison now, or you will know what will add work for heaven. The same thing has happened to this man. He was taken from prison, not to go to his own house, but to live in the palace of the king, to be treated like a king's son. So Christ also takes us out of the prison of our sin, number one. Sin has made us prisoners. We are prisoners to sin. I hope all of you know this is true. Nobody on their own can stop sinning. So we are prison. We are prisoners of sin. He also came to relieve us from addiction. You may be addicted to so many things. There are so many addictions in this world. When you are addicted to something, you are a slave to that thing. When you are addicted to alcohol, you are a slave to alcohol. To stealing, you are a slave of stealing. Anything that you are addicted to, you are a slave of that thing. You have to be released from that situation before you can have power to stop doing that. Now, we are also released from tyranny. And like I said, oppression from this world and Satan. Yes, you are free. You are born here. I am to prison. And maybe I am here to me. And maybe I say, I am here to transfer your entry. Now, because we will be home, so we are no more son. Only me and function. We are addicted to ensign. Therefore, or are a prisoner to that ensign. The same thing. Bibia, we are addicted to that sin. And Christ has come to relieve us from that. Also from our flesh and our thoughts. Everything about us has been negative since our depravity. So Christ comes to relieve us from all those things. Romans chapter 8 verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God." But what you say? So what journey it was? If you are seeing more, owo, I do call owo. Now, so what journey it was heaven? What journey spiritual things in one? I do call and come any peace. And I can say, I mean, journey it was we are seeing more. A enemy of God. Yeni Onyakobo ntem akwa ji se atamfo se o wi ase a o da so obo nyimo se o ma Christ mu a oni Nyakobo eye atamfo. But when we come to Christ, all these chains are falling. The moment we are converted, the moment we are born again, all these chains are falling. The moment ya e bema ya awofofro no na saa enkosokoso ya atichi ye nyaa no na wa sane yen every such a day. And let's see how Christ saved us from the example of this king. This king just said a word, and the man was released. The king just said a word, and the man was released. What about Christ? Christ did something greater. What did he do? He shed his life on the cross of Calvary for us to be relieved. That is why I said salvation. It's a very serious matter. Because according to Hebrews chapter 9 verse 24, sin can never be forgiven until blood is shed. And Christ is the only one who was qualified to shed his blood. So this king had to just speak a word and he was released. Christ had to shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for us to be released from the prison of sin. Or nanu keke de kaye se munko yidi mra ene ikoyi ni bai yesu de wanka ne keke or the name kwankasa or the moja ena e paye boni. If it's a barber kaza se yen hwie moja hu a boni fache ni ho ena e moja bi ni ho so a bitin da paye boni on jesu yesu moja. Inti what the king did as compared to what Christ has done is much more greater. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. So as for the king, he just put the way, he did not offer anything of himself for the man to be released. That is why we always say that there's no religion that can take you to heaven apart from Christianity. Because all the other religions that you can talk about, they don't have a savior. Nobody has shed their blood on any cross anywhere for any of them. It is only Christ who has shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. Because sin can never just be push over. Sin must be punished. And the punishment of sin is death. So Christ came to die for us so that our sins will be forgiven us. No religion in this world has a leader who has done this for his people. So Christ is the only one who can lead us from this prison. So he lifted up his head and also released and exalted him. Then verse 28, he said, he spake kindly to him. The king spoke kindly to this prisoner. And when it comes to our time, how does Christ speak to us? Through the gospel that we preach to you now. Christ speaks to us through the gospel. That is why it is called good news. Without the gospel, we are all condemned. With the gospel, we can all have access to God. That's why we call it the good news. And also, remember, the king spoke personally to him. He did not send any delegate to go, and he himself. But here, whatever we talk about salvation, we see that Christ is the one who does it. So the king spoke kindly to this man. Christ also speak to us kindly. Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And normally when Christ speaks to us, he speaks graciously to us. We'll see a few examples in the Bible as how Christ spoke to people who came to him for help. In John chapter 6, verse 68, he said, thou hast the words of eternal life. Christ alone has the words of eternal life. Remember the man that was sick of palsy in Mark chapter 2, when he came to Christ. What did Christ say? He said, thy sins are forgiven you. Take up your bed and go. He spoke kindly to him. Thy sins are forgiven you. The man came to him for help. He came to heal his palsy. But Christ said, your sins are forgiven you. Take up your bed and go. Then remember the son of the widow. The one whose son died, the widow. In Luke chapter 7, verse 11. He said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. That's what all Christ said. I say unto thee, arise. The American said, yes, you said, you are here now. I can't say away, Bokono. I don't say, I can't say. Now, me my example. We will be an oil, I want him in Nancy. We will be up for our call, yes, you know. Yes, you catch you and say, only me, but you're born in Nancy. Sorry, Nancy, Nako. And now, baby, so I will be an anni by widow, the Babeman, so I say, you. Or also, yes, you go to no. Or say, a brandy, sorry. That's what I catch you. And also, the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. And the nobleman who came to Christ, that his son was sick unto death. What did Christ say? Go thy way, thy son liveth. So simple. And that's how Christ talked to us. Gently, gentle Jesus. That's how he talked to us. The same way that the king spoke to this prisoner, that's how Christ also talked to us. Another one is in John chapter 8, the woman that was caught in adultery. When they were coming to stone him, what did Christ say? Christ said, go and sin no more. And then, what about the thief on the cross? This thief had been a very, very wicked man all his life and was going to be crucified with Christ. Over there, he believed in Christ. Just there, he believed in Christ. And what did Christ say? He said, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Just when the man believed Christ, Christ said, today you will be with me in paradise. He used to catch him and say, and next will be coming home a human. So Christ spoke kindly to us. He doesn't come to us with harsh words, graciously and with love. In Matthew 11, verse 28, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your soul. So we are talking about your soul. Do you have rest for your soul? If not, come to Christ, and he will do it for you. Now, verse 28 said, he set his throne above the king. This man was not just released. He set his throne above the king. So he received promotion, exaltation. Also, oh yeah, nekesi, esene ahimfane ewo honi nyina. Obi a oda prison no, oyini baye nekesi echi omina.
The same thing Christ does for us. He restores our dignity. San Jesus, we may say, said the near tear when you are and San Adam Bayer body. Yes, a tree across that to be an imbue. He takes us back to our dignity. So when we receive Christ, we are seated with him in high places in heaven. Say, in your bayer, you come on here because you say, when your salvation, if you're here, we'll be asking you. Who has to be a vampire man? Wakasa, who are access to God? It was we will sit with him in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, it says that, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is what salvation brings. We will sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we are seated with Christ in heavenly Jesus. So we are jointly seated far above all principalities. Remember, Christ is above all principalities, all powers of darkness. See? So if you are in Christ, why should you fear them? Why should there be prophets and healers and all those kind of people? What about you, the one who has been saved? You are equal, not exactly as Christ, but you are being trained to become like him. The power that brought him from death to life is the power that rests in you. So you don't fear anything. Now, he is above authorities and principalities and powers of darkness. So if you are with such a person, what is your fear? Someone described this as, he said, a worm becoming a prince, or from nothing to everything. From nothing to everything. Let's go to verse 29. He said, and changed his prison garment. He changed his prison garment. You all know what garment prisoners wear. When you meet them on the street, see how dirty they are, how smelly they are. And even death was worse at that time. And when the king brought him up, he gave him a royal garment. He didn't give him ordinary garment, a royal garment. And that's what Christ does for us. When Christ takes us from the prison of sin and brings us unto salvation, he dresses us as kings, like he himself. Because as soon as we repent, Christ covers us with his righteousness. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He said, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. He that overcometh is the one who will be saved. He will clothe you with white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. You see, I will not blot his name. Christ is the one who keeps the book of life. He said, the one that he saved, he will never blot his name from the book of life. So how can you lose your salvation? But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. This is where Christ brings us to. Or say, Obia, obetimi a dear seminal sonu, obedi ne bonny sonu, or obefran and smafita, na obepa ne obepa ne dm free and quite a woman. Then I'm going to say, yes, you free, but you might be making a new opinion. Or say, obepa would be free and quite a woman. There's a book of life. Your name must be in for you to go to heaven. Without that, you can't go to heaven. And Christ is saying that he will never blot people that he has saved. He won't blot their names from that book. And this revelation thing, the symbol is purity. We are now saints. We are like Christ himself. But without Christ, despite your expensive dresses, you are in prison uniform. You can wear the most expensive kente or suit or whatever in this world. Expensive shoes. Before the eyes of God, God sees you, your dress as a prison garment. And that is the state of anyone who is not born again. We are in prison uniforms. Then how to rush up? Verse 30 says, and he did eat bread. Here he means royal diet. He didn't eat the ordinary food. He ate the food that was given to the royals, the princes. He did not save him and left him there, but he got him a royal status. He became like a royal and enjoying all the royal things that everybody enjoys.
Then the same verse 30 and said his and his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day, all the day of his life. What a blessing. The allowance that was given him, this prisoner, he had now become like a prince in the palace. And the allowance that was given him was for all his life. Of a man allowance every day, could you say audible? It's not a man does not live by bread alone. When you become a believer, when you come under Christ, he takes care of you on a daily basis. That was the example he showed in the wilderness when manna was falling every day. There was no need to keep two mannas. Just keep hoping in God, trusting in God. He will feed you today, he will feed you tomorrow, he will feed you throughout this life until he comes. That's the future here. This man was given a daily allowance, and he said every day, all the day of his life. You see, like I said, all the goodies in this world can never be compared to what Christ does. You can have millions of dollars, millions of cedis or pounds sterling or whatever. You can lose all in one day. But if you are under Christ, he will give you daily. Ours is a promise from the King of Kings, the Creator of heaven and earth. He said he will feed you daily until you leave this world. What goodie in this world can you compare to this one? There's nothing that can be compared to this one. So Christ, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, he said, ye adulteress, doubtless, and I count all things by loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as but dung, that I may win Christ. See Paul. We all know who Paul was. Or see, all that he had, he counted them as nothing as compared to knowing Christ. Or see, they know only we are Timon Nano. No offense, name a fee, so little to say of whom Jesus won. So you see the blessings of salvation. When you are saved, you are truly blessed with all these blessings. Christ gives manna from heaven. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, it says, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Then let's quickly go to verse 30 again and say, all the days of his life. You see, he was at the king's table every day. He was given an allowance, which means a gift and not a reward, every day till the man would die. The same with our salvation. It's a gift. You can't pay for it. Nobody can pay for that. It is a gift. You cannot deserve it. It is all by grace. We are saved by grace through faith, not our own. So friends, what do you say to these things? Come to Jesus now. Come and receive all these blessings. Come and receive new clothes. The new clothes is a cloth of righteousness. But get a different from come for new spiritual food, the proper food, not the food that we eat and it is gone. Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. Come and receive this. Receive a new master, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You were a master to Satan. Come out of Satan and come and be under Christ, the one who has so much love. Come and receive pardon. You receive pardon. You receive promotion. You receive a new position. Brayes, you have no power born in Chow, no answer amount to be a puffer. Amount to be a son. Any protection, but mobile. Come to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. William, so oh, ha, now for whom my Jesus sincerely from your heart, let the day today be the day. He said, and it came to pass. It means you hearing the word today, it has come to pass. God has ordained that you hear the word today. And what do you do to the word that you hear? How do you respond to what Christ has done for you? Without Christ, you are missing all these blessings. Do you want to stay in a world where you will never be satisfied? No matter what you gain in this world, you will never be, there will be something lacking until you find Christ. So come to him now if you haven't come, and you will receive all these blessings.